Welcome, great people, to March 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is because I'm a proud patriotic American, and hopefully you are listening because you are also one. Another reason why I do the show is because of the men and women serving in the military. This show is for you. If you are serving, or if you've ever served, thank you for your service. On that note, don't forget to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Your involvement is highly appreciated, and your comments and questions are truly welcome. So thank you for that. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's program. Ed Bernays, the father of public relations, passes away. The Missouri Compromise is passed. We'll wish a happy birthday to the Barbie doll. And rest in peace, Don Cherry. So, let's do this. 1995. Bernays, the father of public relations, dies at age 103. One of his biggest contributions to society, and he's had several, is the belief that bacon and eggs are good for you. He lived to be 103. Born in Austria, 1891, Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, moved to the US as a young lad. Why do I feel this sudden impulse to talk about my dreams? Anyway, I don't really want to get into his life story because it's not that interesting, but rather I want to talk about bacon and eggs. Of course, I would prefer to eat bacon and eggs instead, but I already did that this morning, so I'll talk about it and the other campaigns he used to influence America's buying habits. He convinced women that by smoking Lucky Strike cigarettes that they would be thinner and more attractive to men. He had a big hand in the American Dental Association and the Aluminum Company of America that fluoride in drinking water is good for us. He convinced Americans that eggs were needed in cake mix, and even to this day, most people don't realize that apple cider vinegar can make a healthier substitute, and you can't even really tell the difference. In 1954, the American Central Intelligence Agency conducted Operation PB Success, which assisted a Guatemalan uprising that led to a coup d'etat. Bernays convinced Americans that Guatemala's democratically elected leader, Colonel Jacobo Arbenz, was a communist. I go into more detail on my February 26th ep, but the term Banana Republic was actually coined by the United Fruit Company, now known as Chiquita, who, with Bernays' knowledge and know-how, came up with the term Banana Republic that is basically a poor country run by a few wealthy elites. He worked with Procter & Gamble to convince Americans that the ivory soap bar was medicinally better than his competitors because it floats better in water and you can snap it in two easily, which has nothing to do with the quality of the soap at all. Yes, the list goes on, and Americans are gullible, even though the word gullible isn't even in the dictionary. And if you don't believe me, look it up yourself. But getting back to breakfast, most important meal of the day, right? President Calvin Coolidge wanted big pancakes, not little ones. He once barged into the office of the White House cook, held up his little pancake that was served to him that morning, and asked why he can't just get a bigger pancake. Not only did President Coolidge want a bigger pancake, but comic strip Calvin and Hobbes writer Bill Watterson once made a joke in his comic about the incident. President Coolidge had a bit of a frosty personality at times, but one morning, Bernays and a group of popular vaudevilles of the day stopped by the White House and entertained the president while he ate his pancakes. Legend has it, during the 5 years he was president, that was the only incident that made Coolidge happy. But Bernays' breakfast influence didn't stop there. Pork bellies weren't selling very well in the early 1900s. But Bernays changed all that by convincing Americans that bacon and eggs were the all-American breakfast. As you can imagine, the pork belly market skyrocketed. Amazingly enough, Edward Bernays lived to the ripe old age of 103. How did he die? Well, he was skydiving and his parachute wouldn't open. See, now come on, I'm just kidding. You almost believed that one too. He died because he was 103 years old. More of his legacy is featured in Adam Curtis's 2002 BBC documentary, A Century of Self. The father of public relations. After all, what do you expect from the nephew of Sigmund Freud? 1820. Missouri Compromise is passed. Just a couple years prior in 1817, the Missouri Territory was looking to join the Union and began drafting a state constitution. But when New York Representative James Talmadge decided to throw in an anti-slavery amendment, the debate got heated. There were already 22 states in America, 11 slave and 11 free. So, admitting Missouri would uneven the slavery balance, and Talmadge wanted this to be an opportunity to begin the ending of slavery in America. New York Senator Rufus King also championed that Congress had every right to prohibit slavery in new states. Naturally, Southerners disagreed. In fact, Maryland Senator William Pinckney argued that new states had every right to allow slavery under the Constitution. Back and forth this went. The Federalist Party in the North was falling apart, but Speaker of the House, the great pacificator from Kentucky, Henry Clay, worked on getting a resolution. In December 1819, Congress reconvened. Massachusetts was redrawing their boundary lines to allow the new state of Maine to apply for entrance into the Union. By making Maine a free state and Missouri a slave state, all states north of Missouri and the Western Territories would be free, and all parties would cool their engines. Notice I didn't say they were satisfied, because no one was happy with this compromise. The North felt that it set a bad precedent for states entering the Union to be allowed as slave states, and the South didn't want Congress to have that much control over abolishing slavery anywhere in the United States. The resolution was passed on this day in 1820, and President James Monroe would sign it into law on May 6th. The Missouri Compromise was successful in scotch-taping the weak United States together for the time being, but would be overturned decades later by the Kansas-Nebraska Act. That, along with the Dred Scott decision, would be enough to inflame the country into civil war. 1959. Happy Birthday, Barbie! The Barbie doll, created by Ruth Handler in 1959, was modeled after a German toy named Build Lily. She created the doll after noticing that when her daughter Barbara played with dolls, she would often give them adult roles. Ruth marketed this idea and found a perfect niche. Barbie, of course, does not come without controversy. For example, if her figure was actual adult size, her measurements would be 36-18-38. It's kind of hard for some woman to pull that off in real life without surgery. Barbie also does not come without parodies, such as Tom Forsythe's picture of Food Chain Barbie, which showed her in a blender. And let's not forget the classic Saturday Night Live parody called Gangsta Bitch Barbie and Tupac Ken. Nonetheless, Barbie-related merchandise exceeded the yearly $1 billion by 1993. Since 1959, over $800 million in the Barbie family have been sold internationally and is regarded a true American classic. Finally, 1995, African-American jazz trumpeter Don Cherry died of liver failure, aged 58. He developed the genre of world fusion music, incorporating influences of Middle Eastern, traditional African, and Indian music into his playing. He is also the stepfather to musicians Nina Cherry and Eagle Eye Cherry.
And that, my friends, wraps it up for March 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Be sure to tune into tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Old West news about Jack Slade, various invention and patent news, Liz Taylor, as well as rock singer Chrissy Hynde. So until then, be sure to check out the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com, leave a comment on the comment board, and follow me on Facebook and Twitter, JUSDHL. And until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.